Okay, so the last step in the inventory, and just to, I forgot to tell you to give you a timeframe. After we finish, you finish the writing stuff, we're going to go on to step five, and which you'll have an opportunity to share, and then we're going to take a break. So, so the last part you're going to do, I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to do this, is on the back side of one of the pieces of paper or clean sheet of paper or whatever in your notebook. What I want you to do is draw a picture of your body. Now, I'm not an artist, so a stick figure works. The idea is to represent that you have two arms and two legs, or if you only have one arm, whatever. And then it's not about like drawing an intricate picture of your face and then everything is just like nothing else. On the parts of your body that you like, you're going to draw like a positive symbol. It could be a heart or a star or something like that. Just keep it very simple. Then the parts of your body that you don't like, you're going to put an X. And you can't put an X over the whole body. So you have to, if you can only find one thing, like you like your clavicle, whatever it is, your eyes, put a star or heart on something. And so I'll give you 5 minutes to do that. You can put yourself with, if you're more comfortable drawing yourself with clothes on, you only have 5 minutes. So I literally just draw a stick figure because that's the extent of my artistic abilities. And then.
It needs to be on a separate piece though, right?
Yeah, you want it on a separate paper. All right, go ahead and wrap that up. Okay, so congratulations on completing your inventory. Nicely done. All right, step five, admitting to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. It tells us in the big book on page 72, the second paragraph. And I love this because it says, this is perhaps difficult. So the big book doesn't tap dance around. It says, like, this is going to be hard. And I love that, and I appreciate that in the literature, because if I was under any kind of notion that, like, this would be easy, I would have been very disappointed. It says, this is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. And then it goes on to say at the bottom of the paragraph that trying to avoid this humbling experience, they've turned to easier methods, invariably they got drunk. And so the importance of sharing it is not just because it's something to go against your ego, but because if we don't, we will eat, and if we eat, we will die. So in the AA 12 and 12 on page 55 at the top, it starts out the step by saying all of AA's 12 steps ask us to go contrary to our natural desires. They all deflate our egos. When it comes to ego deflation, few steps are harder to take than five, but scarcely any step is more necessary to long-time sobriety and peace of mind than this one. Peace of mind is what I had the least of when I walked in these rooms. So anywhere where it speaks to me of having peace of mind, I'm like, okay, and I listen in a little closer.
Colleen, could you repeat your last sentence?
Sure. That was from the AA 12 and 12, step 5 at the very beginning of that first paragraph. It's page 55. So what you're going to do is find a partner, and we're going to give you 5 minutes each. So obviously it's not time to share everything, but just share whatever you're comfortable with or part of it. And then at 5 minutes, we'll call switch, and then the other person will have an opportunity to share. Okay, does that make sense? Any questions? You're sharing your inventory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what you just spent all that time writing and drawing. You don't have to share your picture. You can share your picture. It's totally up to you. Oh, yeah. All right. Wait a second. I just want to remind you for a second really quickly that the purpose in sharing with each other is to just be a sounding board, to just be open and receptive. This is not an opportunity to let them know what they can do to fix this, as well-intentioned as that might be. Unless someone specifically says to you, I'd like your feedback on this, we practice restraint of tongue and pen. So the idea is just to listen while the other person is sharing, and then when we say time, then the other person shares and the other person listens. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Doing okay? Great. Okay. Well, guess what? We're on step six. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, in the 12 and 12, the AA 12 and 12, the first line of it in step six is that this is the step that separates the men from the boys. And I remember reading that and I thought, how is step six of all steps the one that separates the men from the boys? Wouldn't it be a fourth step? Wouldn't it be a fifth step? But as I've come to see here, it says, excuse me, on page 68 of the 12 and 12. So the difference.
12 and 12.
What's that? Oh, I'm sorry, AA.
AA, okay.
Sorry. So the difference between the boys and the men is the difference between striving for a self-determined objective and for the perfect objective, which is God. And also, what I've come to believe about step six is this is where we start making changes in our life today. You know, we did an inventory about our past, and we read that, but now, if we're really dedicated to doing this, now we're making changes today. So it's about the present. And what step six really is about, as they tell us in both 12 and 12s, is that willingness to change is the essence of step six. And this is from September 19th of The Voices of Recovery. And the little blurb says, a willingness to change is the essence of step six. Change is always frightening. Growing and changing is what OA is about. Miracles and spiritual awakenings have come as a result of my slow growth. I wanted to live in the insanity of doing the same things over and over, expecting different results. It was too scary to change. Thank God I stayed around until the miracle happened. Step six was my guide to a willingness to change. I'm grateful that I became willing to surrender to the process. I welcome opportunities for growth and recovery, to do things differently. That is change. My program allows me to take care of myself, to grow, improve, work with others, get out of myself, and make a difference in my world. I open myself each day to God's will for my life. I'm willing to go to any length to keep my recovery. Every day I work the steps and use the tools. I live life to its fullest in recovery and refuse to give my life away to my disease. I will always be a compulsive overeater, but with my higher power, I have the ability to change. And so in the OA 12 and 12 on page 56, it says, being entirely ready means that we firmly turn our backs on the old destructive behavior and make every effort to act and live by the principles embodied in the 12 steps. What we are asked to do in step six is become entirely ready for this miracle of release to happen to us, no matter what it may cost us, no matter what in our lives may change. And then also it says, being entirely ready, this is all on page 56 of the OA 12 and 12, being entirely ready means that we are completely willing to recognize and let go of our defective behavior patterns and to let God change us as God will. We don't set a timetable or method for these changes. When and how our defects are removed is entirely up to God. And then on the next page, the first paragraph, it says, every character defect we have today has been useful to us at some point in our lives, and we need to recognize that fact. Next, we need to recognize that each of these old tools for coping with life has now outlived its usefulness. So that's step six, and we're going to go right to step seven before we do any writing.
Step seven is we're entirely ready to remove these shortcomings. And step seven, as it tells us in the AA 12 and 12, is all, and tells us in the OA 12 and 12, is all about humility. And there are lots of different definitions of humility in all the literature, but in step seven, it says, which I love, it says, it is a desire to seek and do God's will. And why do we need it? As it tells us on page 72 in the AA 12 and 12. For just so long as we were convinced that we could live exclusively by our own individual strength and intelligence, for just that long was a working faith in a higher power impossible. We give up these defects because we enjoy moments in which there is something like real peace of mind. That's what I wanted. To those of us who have hitherto known only excitement, depression, anxiety, in other words, to all of us, this newfound peace is a priceless gift. So we use God to remove our defects the way we use God to remove our food obsession and our compulsive eating behaviors. So humility is recognizing that we can't and God can. For me, I needed the food. I needed to be obsessed with myself, physically and mentally. I needed to think about that because my life was too uncomfortable to think about facing the truth of my life. This is just me, but I'm the kind of person, I bought everything my family sold me. And I really believed everything they told me, which is kind of crazy. They did tell me some really good things, but they also told me some weird things. They said, no one will love you like your family. And I realized a few years ago, thank God nobody will love me like my family. So, okay. Now I have God, so I don't need that obsession. And on page 76 in the OA 12 and 12, it says, where is it? Oh, no, it's not. I'm sorry. It's in the AA 12 and 12. I'm sorry. It says the seventh step. I believe it's the last page of it, isn't it? It's the last paragraph. Yeah. It's on page 76 of the AA 12 and 12. It is the very last paragraph. And it says the seventh step is where we make the change in our attitude, which permits us, with humility as our guide, to move out from ourselves towards others and towards God. The whole emphasis of step seven is on humility. It is really saying to us that we now ought to be willing to try humility in seeking the removal of our shortcomings, just as we did when we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. If that degree of humility could enable us to find the grace by which such a deadly obsession could be banished, then there must be hope of the same result respecting any other problem we could possibly have. Lastly, in the OA 12 and 12 on page 57, it says we need to recognize that each of these old tools for coping with life has now outlived its usefulness. Only when we realize they are costing us more than they are giving us do we become entirely ready to be rid of our defects of character. So I've got a list of prompts here of defects. These were just a few of mine, but you're certainly welcome to come up with your own. And so what you're going to write about, and you know, excuse me, you just have a few minutes. You don't have to pick up all of these. But in relation to the way you feel about your body, because this is, we're always going back to that, is what was the benefit? Thank you. What was the benefit of having this defect? For me, it kept me occupied thinking about my body. And what is it costing me today to have this defect? Everybody get that? Okay.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Sure. what was the benefit of having this defect, and what is it costing me today to have this defect, to keep having it?
The defect is the obsession of our body.
Yes, exactly. So you'll see the prompts in.
Could you kindly repeat the question?
Sure. Regarding any of these defects that you come up with, what was the benefit of having this defect long ago, and what is it costing you now to keep it in relation to your body obsession? Okay. So after that writing, what we can do while we're waiting for God to remove these defects is act as if they have already been removed. And as it says in the OA 12 and 12 on page 56, make every effort to act and live by the principles embodied in the 12 steps. So we're going to move on to steps 8 and 9. So what is an amend? An amend, it tells me, is to amend something means to change it. We complete our amends for our wrongful actions of the past by changing our actions in the future, okay? And then in Voices of Recovery, I love this, in Voices of Recovery of June 29th. Our purpose in doing step 8 is not to judge others, but to learn attitudes of mercy and forgiveness. An OA friend mailed me a sand dollar and an essay he had written on perfectionism. His writing helped me let go of this character defect. The essay says to look at the sand dollar. It's not broken, but it has flaws. It may be stained and have a nicked edge or a small hole. Can you still love it? If you can learn to love your imperfect sand dollar, you are capable of loving the imperfect world and people around you. People have disappointed you, hurt you, and let you down by being imperfect. Can you let go of the idea of perfection and accept reality, loving people just the way they are? Can you accept you just the way you are? Love the imperfect people around you. Love your imperfect self and your imperfect world. For if you cannot love life the way it is, you will suffer from eternal loneliness. We all live in an imperfect world surrounded by imperfect people. The ability to love yourself and those around you is a gift from God that enables you to live fully, bravely, and meaningfully in an imperfect world. Yes, only with ourselves. So when we make amends, we make amends for our actions, right? We don't make amends for our thoughts. But when we make amends to ourselves, we make amends also for our thoughts, because our thoughts, you know, are character assassination thoughts. So we make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So the purpose of step 9 is to clear away guilt and ill will so that we may establish better relationships with people whom our lives have touched. In most cases, this will require us to do more than just say, I'm sorry. In making amends, we'll need to acknowledge a specific harm we've done, apologize, make appropriate restitution, and change our behavior toward them in the future. How do we make amends to ourselves? It tells us this too. To amend something is to change it. We complete our amends for our wrongful actions of the past by changing our actions in the future. This is especially important when making amends to ourselves. The words we say, we owe such people living amends. The words we say to them will not be so nearly as important as how we act from them from now on. Only by permanently changing our harmful attitudes and actions can we make it up to ourselves and our loved ones for the hurts of the past. So what you're going to do now is you're going to write an amends letter to yourself about the way that you have thought about your body, treated your body, your body obsession, however you want to do it. But that's what we're going to do now for, what, five minutes? 5 minutes. Okay. You'll share this with your partner, and you'll each have 2.5 minutes to read your letter. Okay? Didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Okay. Thank you. Okay. I wanted to read this to you at the end of you're reading your letters. This is March 6th from the For Today, page 66. And the little quote is, "Let him go where he will. He can only find so much beauty or worth as he carries." I know what geographical cures are. I have taken some. Wherever I went, I ended up the same way, in the despair and degradation of compulsive overeating and the attitudes that go with it. Today, I am worth enough to give myself the best thought, the best care. I guard my abstinence and my program as though they were my dearest possessions, and they are. Wherever I go, I expect good, beautiful, and worthwhile things, and I find them. I treat myself and others with respect, and I do not react in kind to people who behave badly toward me. My self-worth comes not from others, but from myself, from caring about my own opinion and about what I do and say. All that I am and hope to be comes from giving myself the time and the patience, compassion, and understanding to grow. For today, caring for myself is the best way I know to care for others and to find the good in everything.
Which one was that?
That's March 6th, page 66 in the For Today. And as it tells us in the big book, that our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and to the people around us. And what he's talking about, to fit ourselves, is to get out of our self-obsession. So there you have steps 8 and 9. Okay.
Step 10. Continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So in the big book on page 84, about halfway through, it says, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. So it's referring to what we did in step 4 and 5 and 6, 7, 8, and 9. We've entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness. So when I get obsessed about how I don't like how something looks, I'm now focused on me and I've lost focusing on you. I watch for dishonesty. My perception about how my body is very distorted, so I can't honestly make a real assessment of that. Resentment and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. So one of the things that I began to make a practice of, because I realized I had a lot of stinking thinking in my head about my body, what I thought of myself, and I was never too shy to let it run wild in my head. And so I had to begin to notice it and to catch it, and that's part of what step 10 became. The other part of it, like we talk about when dealing with the defects, is I had to learn to practice the reverse of that, okay? So it wasn't enough just to not look in the mirror and be like, "Ugh," when I got up first thing in the morning. I then had to make a contrary statement to that. So there were a number of different things that I picked up over time and some that I just began to write out, one of which was just on a simple level, as I, out of necessity literally, like as I was losing weight, like I couldn't, I almost like I'd close the medicine cabinet and be like, whoa, I'd be shocked at who I saw. Because, and so I realized that I needed to figure out a way to reconcile my vision of myself in my head with what was actually looking back at me. And so I began to say, God, help me to see me as you see me. And of course, I thought that just had to do with like physically, but of course, it has to do with everything. I also began to look at what were the things that I would say to myself when I would experience pain in my body or I would feel uncomfortable in my skin. And it was not usually nice. You know, I'd be like, oh, this is so annoying, or like, what's my problem? Or, and I would just have to stop and say, you know what? It's okay, we're alive, we're breathing, it's good, you know? And part of it, like an extension of that, you know, there was a gentleman in program who was a 100-pounder, and he talked about this affirmation he would say every morning, buck naked in front of the mirror. I was not willing to do that. But it basically, along the lines, was like about having God learn how to accept himself exactly as he was in that moment. And so that resonated for me. So I would begin to say the same thing. Sometimes I could say it in front of the mirror. I mean, just the face mirror. Sometimes I could, you know, I would just say it in my head. Sometimes I would write it down. I actually, because I'm so compulsive, like I found a bunch of affirmations for myself that applied and wrote them down every single morning when I write my letter to God. I did that for like 2.5 years. And then I realized I needed to hear them. So then for another couple of years, I would say them out loud every morning. And then now what I do is there's just different ones that I pick up on or catch on, and I say it to myself in the mirror when I think of it. But again, it's about being in gratitude, because regardless of all the crap that I have put my body through, it's still functioning, it's still working, and in really phenomenal shape. And I take that for granted all the time. And I don't want to anymore, because it hurts my heart when I do. And the more that, sure. So, well, a big one for me is just because, like I mentioned, growing up, I never felt safe. So literally saying I'm safe, because that is a literal interpretation of my body. Like I feel anxious, I can't breathe, I stop, you know, I get tense in my body when I don't feel safe. So a lot of times it's a good one just because, like, I'm not aware that I'm not feeling safe until I notice it in my body. Another one is I literally look at the parts of my body that I do like and will like focus on them and think about how grateful I am for them. You know, like I have this random thing I'll do all the time. Not all the time, but I'm being, you know, LA, you spend a lot of time in the car in traffic, right? So I'll be sitting in the car and I do this, like I put my hand behind my back and I love like how thin my arm looks. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like I just like it. And so I just sort of marvel at it for a few seconds or something like that. But it's like, so it's about that appreciation. Of course, all the myriad of affirmations are like totally out of my head at the moment. So I can't come up with any more specifics than that one. But those are probably some key ones. So what you're going to do is for a 10th step is you're gonna, whether it comes from your amends letter or something just popped in your mind, you're gonna write out an affirmation on this index card. Now, just to be clear, an affirmation is something that is to be stated in the present, okay? Like, I am beautiful, or I am grateful for my body, or I am God's child, or whatever it is you want to say. It can be very specific to body image. It can be just something you're taking away from today. And I would suggest not making it too long, because if it's too long, it's not something that will begin to sort of come to mind. And not make it conditional, like when blah 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 happens, or when I, or if this. The idea of an affirmation is that it's something that you can, you know, be okay with. You may not always agree with it, but you can be okay with it and might actually believe it a little bit. Because what you're going to do, and when I get into step 12, we'll talk more about this, is the idea is that you will say it for the next 30 days. So whether you put it in front of the mirror, on the fridge, because we always look at the fridge, anywhere that you'll be reminded, you know, say it at night before you go to sleep, say it first thing in the morning or whatever, but you're going to write it down and then you're going to keep it someplace where you can remind yourself to say it at least once a day. So I'm going to pass out these index cards. I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to write down an affirmation. There's no right or wrong here. Okay, as you're wrapping up, I'm going to read from the Voices of Recovery for December 10th. This says, as we repeatedly act on step 10, we begin to see the remarkable way the steps will, from now on, continue to remove unnecessary turmoil and pain from our lives. More gifts are in store for us as we continue working the program and experiencing the miracle of permanent recovery one day at a time. That's from the OA 12 and 12, page 89 and 90. Ours is a disease of attitudes. However, the years I've spent in OA have shown me that although my disease is progressive, so is my recovery. When I was active in my eating disorder, I hated everything about my life. My world consisted of binges, blame, fear, shame, jealousy, and rage. I was imprisoned by unrealistic expectations of people, bitterly resenting their imperfections. I also hated myself because I couldn't stop eating. Negativity breeds hopelessness, and I was trapped. Recovery teaches me that my gratitude and serenity snowball just like my negative attitudes did. As I work the 12 steps of this program, it becomes fulfilling to focus on the good in my life. It doesn't always come easily. Sometimes I struggle to think positively. But when my attitudes slip, I know there's hope. Now my world consists of daily miracles, both large and small, that keep the light in my eyes and the lightness in my heart. Positive thinking breeds acceptance, and today I am free.
Okay. We're on to step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Or the short version, thy will not mine be done. So what is prayer? In the AA 12 and 12, prayer, it tells me that prayer is the raising of the heart and mind to God. And it is a petition to God. A petition to God to let us know God's will for us. We try to ask for those right things of which we and others are in the greatest need, and knowledge for His will for us and the power to carry that out. And then on, it says about meditation. Meditation helps us envision our spiritual objective before we try to move toward it. Its objective is always the same, to improve our conscious contact with God, with His grace, wisdom, and love. And let's remember that meditation is in reality intensely practical. One of its first fruits is emotional balance. And in the OA 12 and 12 on page 96, it says, meditation gives us the much needed practice in the art of sitting still and opening our hearts to receive spiritual nourishment. So what we're going to do now is have a minute of a time silent meditation. And I want you to think about the ways, what you think about your body and your body obsession, and see if you get anything. So we're going to start as soon as I make that. Okay, we're going to start now. Okay. So the writing for step 11 is, you're going to write a letter from your higher power to you, telling you how God sees you and your body. Everybody get that?
Yeah.
I will. You write a letter from your higher power to you, and your higher power will tell you how your higher power sees you in relation to your body. Sees you and in relation to your body. Okay? We'll have 3 minutes to do that. Okay. Now, is everybody done? I see some people aren't done. We're going to share this with your partner, and you'll each have 2.5 minutes. What's that?
Oh, I just love that you don't tell us before.
Oh. Why would we? Why would we tell you that?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are now at step 12. Congratulations. So step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. So on page 89 in the big book, it tells us that practical experience shows that nothing so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics as with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. And then it goes on to remind us that frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Also, in the AA 12 and 12 on page 125, it says to us, for it is only by accepting and solving our problems that we can begin to get right with ourselves and with the world about us and with him who presides over us all. And then lastly, from the Voices of Recovery on page 16, which I believe is January 16th, it says, those of us who live this message don't simply carry the message, we are the message. Each day that we live well, we are well, and we embody the joy of recovery. And that's from the OA 12 and 12, page 106. When I first walked into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, I was like the candle whose light is flickering and close to going out. I was sick in mind, body, and spirit. I was hopeless. Many OA members describe OA as the last house on the block. I do not know if that's true, since I do not know where the block begins or ends. I do know that what I found in OA can only be found in the heart and mind of another recovering compulsive overeater. The flickering light that I came in with became stronger, and the hopelessness turned into hopefulness. I can be a living example or a dying example of how the program works. My courage to recover and my experiences in OA serve as an example to those who know me. I represent and carry the message of hope. So as part of that, page 16 in the Voices of Recovery from January 16th. What we're going to do is as a closing is we're going to stand and share our affirmations. If you're not comfortable sharing affirmation, just say pass. And then once everybody has shared their affirmation, then we'll say the serenity prayer. The second part of that 12 step that we try to help other compulsive overeaters, and then it talks about that being the bright spot of our lives, is that at the end of the 30 days of saying your affirmation, pass it on to somebody else. Yes, at the end of the 30 days of saying your affirmation, pass it on to somebody else. All right. Oh, there's all kinds of things. Like they say 21 days to form a habit. I've heard that practicing something for how many times a day? As many times as you want. I don't think it hurts to say something positive about yourself, like as many times or with every breath, you know. Yeah. Okay. My body is a delicious beacon of light today.
Wow.
I am good enough as I am, and I am safe.
I am important and the number one value to my life.
I accept my body just as God has made me this day.
I feel my belly and I feel me. I am okay, perfect today.
I'm going to pass.
I am beautiful and deserving of love.
I am grateful.
I am beautiful.
I am worthy of a strong, healthy body.
I accept and love myself exactly as I am, right here, right now.
I am enough and I am safe.
I am grateful for the unique shape of my body.
I am a lovely, juicy, vocal, expressive, sexual being.
Yeah!
I'm gonna do that.
I am beautiful, fierce, and strong.
I love my body.
I am capable of change.
I am grateful for my strong, healthy, beautiful body.
I have everything I need today to experience that I am whole, complete, awake, and alive.
I am grateful.
I am at peace with my beautiful nails and my beautiful me.
I am creative and interesting and capable of changing the things I don't like about my life without fear.
I am likable today and I love myself today.
I am enough, I am safe, and I can make positive changes.
I am filled with joy to know the world wants to do awesome things for me. I let it happen consistently.
I am good enough, I do enough, I have enough.
I rely on my higher power's direction and support every day.
I am delighted by my amazing, beautiful, gorgeous, strong, God-given body.
I love and accept my body as it is.
I am a shining and beautiful woman of intelligence, wisdom, and effortless accomplishments. I am loved. I am lovable.
I'm always supported by God in my relationship with food and my relationship with my body.
Who's right here right now?
God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it.
Yay.